Well, year after year, we're holding this kind of fellowship and meetings. I hope, really, that this will not just be some kind of a knowledge, not for myself, not for any one of us, but that it will be an encouragement for us to go on. In my whole Christian life, from the very beginning, when the Lord called and asked me to serve Him, this one desire has never left me. That is to keep on pursuing, seeking, to go on, and to reach the goal. The very fact that the Lord Jesus did not return yet prove that we have not reached the goal. If we have reached the goal, if God's purpose is fulfilled, then He'll be right here. We'll be ready to meet Him. But as long as the Lord is not here yet, and even examining our own living day by day, I don't need to examine you. Who am I to examine you? But to examine myself, then I realize the Lord has still a lot to do in my life. To be perfected. We all know that to be perfected as a human being, it takes how long? Are you perfected? Graduated? Got your PhD? Even after you got your PhD, are you perfected? That means what? It took your whole life.
That's right. Yes.
As long as you're still alive, living on this earth, in your human life, you need perfection. There are many things, new things you must learn. New things you must learn. Now, spiritually, thank you. Yeah. Just holler. You think heavenly and spiritual life is easier than our earthly human perfection? Tell me. I've seen so many older brothers that are before me, and I didn't see perfection. I saw pride, thinking they knew everything. Hey, it's not only if you're 80, 90 years old, even if you are 40 years old, you think you already know a lot. Yeah, really. You don't need to be 90 years old to think you are fully qualified. Even if you're 40 years old, 38 years old, 45 years old, you think you're already qualified. No one is qualified in the heavenly realm. There is only one I knew that is qualified. You also know Him, right?
Right.
We all know who He is. He's the one sitting on the throne today.
Amen.
Apart from Him, I don't know of anyone who is qualified. So as long as we're still alive and the Lord's not coming back yet, we need to press on. We still have a lot of things to learn. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of things to learn. Positively and also on the negative side. Right. Because even the negative things are growing. Don't think you know yourself already. you know yourself?
Not as well as I would think.
Well, the more you become older, the more you know yourself. And you'll be surprised. You'll find there are a lot of things you didn't know was there before. Mm-hmm. Right, that little girl sitting there, you see, you think she knows herself? I don't think so. But the mother sitting next to her, she knows herself a little bit more. The more you grow spiritually, the more you know how fallen your being heart is. The more you discover, and you'll be scared of yourself. You'll be surprised. My goodness, I didn't know that was there. Oh, how come I look like the devil? Who's the father of your flesh?
The devil.
Ah. I'm glad you know that now. When the Lord told those Pharisees, the chief priests, scribes, you are of your father, the devil. What does it mean? Aren't they God's people? Tell me.
Yeah.
Chosen people. Were they not? Then you think the Lord didn't know that?
He did.
The Lord knew that. Because John wrote, he came to his strange people. No, he came to his own. His own, and he called his own. You are of your father, the devil. Who is he referring to? The flesh. Because they're all in the flesh. If you are in the flesh, sorry. What can I say? If I say it, you're going to say, John, you are. How about God our Father? Is he the Father of the flesh? Ah, Hebrews says, chapter 12, he is the father of
spirit.
So the devil is the father of the flesh. So you want to live by the flesh?
No.
No, we don't. So the more you mature in life, the more you live by the spirit, the more you hate the flesh. This flesh is terrible. Save me, Lord, from my flesh.
Amen.
This will be your prayer. That is why you need to know the sin offering. Oh, yeah, thank you. That is why you and I, we all need to know our spirit. Right?
Yes.
And you need to know the sin offering.
Amen.
And the trespass offering. Why are there these two offerings? To deal with your flesh. To free you from your flesh.
Yes.
Don't you need a sin offering every day?
Yes.
What is the sin offering? The sin offering is what? Not just to forgive you. No, but to deliver you. To set you free. Free. Freedom. People talk about freedom and they thought freedom to do anything they like. No. 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 You say, oh, we are free from the law, people says. We're free from the law. You become lawless. Yeah, look at this country. Everybody is now free. Free. Free to what? You want that kind of a freedom? What freedom are you talking about? Freedom from your flesh.
Amen.
Freedom from the law of sin.
Amen.
And death.
Yes.
And we can say sin and death, they have no more dominion over me.
Amen.
Can you say that? You have to say this. Based upon what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished on the cross, you should be able to say that.
Amen.
Thank you. Don't you like the sin offering?
I hope you do. Some people says, no, we don't need it anymore. That's the law.
The goat is not my sin offering, okay? Not a goat. But Christ.
Amen.
I'm not talking about the goat, the sheep.
I am talking about this wonderful Christ who is our sin offering. And as such an offering is to deliver you from your flesh, I have been crucified with him. The old man is dead, the body of sin done away with. Hey! And he who is dead, sin continues. I never saw somebody who is buried in a cemetery rose up and robbed the bank. Have you? But how come you're dead, you keep on sinning? You're saying I'm joking. No, I'm not joking. No, I really felt it's time we learn to get into the reality of all of these wonderful things in the Bible. And to really know it to the fullest extent. You cannot just know it, oh, praise the Lord, and even talk about it. I'm not talking about it. I want us to get into it and to really press on. We press on. Otherwise, year by year after year, you'll be the same. And not only the same, you'll be going down the hill instead of going up. Somebody said, oh, after the conference of the Songs of Ascent, the churches are descending. It's because you're just talking about doctrine. The doctrine will not help you unless you practice it. That's why Paul says, or James said, be not a hearer of the word only, but be a what?
Doer.
Amen.
Yeah. We have to. And not only to do it, but to discover more and more concerning it. Because every spiritual thing has four dimensions, not just three. It has the depths, it has the height, it has the width, and it has the length. Where is it written? Oh, come on, you don't need the Bible now. Ephesians chapter 3. But for that, you need to be strengthened in your spirit. You need to be rooted and grounded in the wonderful Christ and in his love. Otherwise, how can you apprehend? And you have to be strong to apprehend.
Amen.
Just like if you're going to lift this one, you have to be strong to lift it. How about lifting the piano? You have to be Hercules. Or Superman. With just one finger. But if our spirit is not strong, how can we apprehend? Even if we are together, we cannot apprehend. 10 joya cannot live that piano. Even 20 joya. Right? Plus 20 Rebecca. I cannot live that. You say, oh, together, we are together, we can apprehend Christ. Are you kidding me? You cannot. Impossible. Not possible. We need to be strengthening the inner man to apprehend Christ. Don't think it's so easy just to listen to a message, read a book, you apprehend Christ. You can know so much in your brain, yeah. But it doesn't mean you apprehend Christ. No, to apprehend Christ, you need spiritual strength to really gain Him. Yeah. So it's not a matter of just knowing and listening and reading. But it's a matter of pressing on. Press on. You do a lot of swimming before. Is it easy? Oh, just have a good time. You think it's just having a good time? Ah, to go to the beach, yes, very good. But if you're a swimmer, you're competing and you want to gain the prize, you want to be the top, you want to be number one, and you want to gain that whatever piece of paper. You cannot swim for recreation. You have to press toward it. You think you're fast enough? Sorry. The one swimming next to you is fast. Don't think spiritual pursuit is easy. People got offended because I said, let's do it diligently. Labor. Not labor. Didn't you tell us that if we serve the Lord, you should not sweat? Goodness sake. You mean to say when you're in the Spirit, you don't need to be diligent? Why did Paul say, be not what? In Romans 12, what did he say? Verse 10, I think. Be not slothful in zeal. Be not slothful, but be... Oh, don't be burning, you'll be sweating. Why would people find out and use all kinds of verses to fight against this? Would you do that? Would you? Not to sweat means don't use your flesh. And to use your spirit does not mean you don't labor. And diligently. And not slothful. And pressing.
Amen.
And reaching forward. You know, I don't want to argue with anyone. I don't even want to talk about it. But for the sake of all of you, you need to know. Actually, after so many years, I don't have to explain this anymore. Do you think? I still need to explain this? Do I still need to teach you 1 plus 1 equals 2? 2 times 2 equals 4? 8 plus 10 makes 18? No more, right? Maybe now you have to teach me calculus. And programming. Maybe I have to learn from you. So, we all need to be reasonable. If we want to have the same mind, then we should have the mind of Christ. And we should have the mind that Paul was talking about in Philippians chapter 3. Right. Because this is the way to really go on. don't have the same mind on just certain points. No, this is not just a point. This is a mind that will press you onward to the goal. Otherwise, you get stuck with 1 plus 1 equals 2. But if you have the mind of Paul, you will keep on going to higher mass. Talking in your terms, this is what Paul meant. Keep on going. There are many things that we still need to know and pursue. So many things that we don't know. You think God does not have any more in store for you today, for us today to go on? Have you ever really prayed to the Father and said, Father, how are you going to finish your work today in our age? What is the way today? Or do you want to take the way of Roman Catholicism, the way of Reformation, the way of the Baptists, the way of the Brethren, the way of Watchman Nee, the way of Witness Lee, the way of Lee, or whatever? No. You have to seek for God's way. What is your way today for this generation to go on? If we do not have this kind of a view, you're through with God's work. You're through. And I really meant it. Look at the Baptists, they're through. Look at the Lutheran Church, they're through. Look at those who follow Watchman in China. They're dead. Sorry to use this word. Because the Lord says to Sardis, you have a name that you are alive, but you are
dead.
You're dead. Look at the Brethren. And look at L.S. Emmer today. Do you want to be like that? No, we don't. And not because we are any better, but today we are facing a situation in front of us. We want to reach the goal, especially when the Lord comes. Don't you want to be the first fruits to mature? Or you think you're already mature? Don't you want to follow the Lamb? You think the Lamb doesn't have any place more to go? The Lamb in Revelation 14, it says, wherever he goes, he ran out of places to go. He got stuck like you in Fountain Valley. No. He is going to lead you all the way to heavenly Zion. As long as you're not there yet, you're not there, period. So you better make sure you will be there with him. And just wait a little while more, and he will come back. So today, we need to have this kind of a heart. All the spiritual things, remember, are four-dimensional. You need to grow in all dimensions. People don't want to go on. That's their problem. But that's the problem of all the Christians behind us. What is tradition? Even the good tradition. That's why we have the book of Philippians. Whatever was gained to me, I count them all lost. Not only loss, but dung. What value is that? Negative. Well, at least it's good to be used as fertilizer, right? But spiritual value, negative. Because it's going to hold you back from going onward and upward. So, may the Lord really help us.
Amen.
Help us to see more, to understand more, not for the head knowledge, but help us to go on. Anything that cannot help you to go on, you have to drop it. Anything that even hinders you to go on, drop it. Drop it. On the other hand, you ask the Lord to reveal Himself more to us. Right. We need more of the divine heavenly revelation. Don't think God has nothing more to show us. I have very deep impression because I heard an old brother said, I have seen already everything in the Bible. You know what? After that, until this very day, I discovered many things he didn't see. But he thought he saw everything. Right. So may the Lord have mercy to change our concept and to brighten, widen our horizon.
Amen.
Amen.
And give us a seeking heart.
Amen.
If you seek, you shall find.
Amen.
Remember, the riches of Christ is unsearchable. Paul used the word unfathomable. And it probably will take eternity for us to appreciate all the riches of Christ. The little riches that we know we couldn't even apply in our life. Why would we think that we know everything? Right. So, may the Lord change our concept. It doesn't matter. Whatever happened in the past, forget about it. Forget about the things in the past. Anyone who doesn't want to go on, it's up to them. It's their choice. But I hope that we will press on. Like the Apostle Paul tells us to do. Now, before we go into the outline, I feel one point is very important for us to see today. Because most of the Christians, they thought, from Genesis to Malachi, this is the old. We don't need that anymore. Many of them think that way. Including ourselves. And so we tend to put it away and say they are not that important. If you think that way, and if you have that kind of a mentality, you have fallen into the trap of the devil. Because, especially in the five books of Moses, the Jews call it Torah. T-O-R-A-H. The Hebrews call it the Torah. The word Torah means instruction of the law. And it's called the Pentateuch. Why Penta? Because it's five. The five books of Moses. Moses. The five books of Moses. These five books are right in the very beginning of the Bible. From Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy. These are the five books. It's called the Pentateuch. The five books of Moses. Let me tell you, these books are the solid foundation of the whole scriptures. You want to know the Bible, you better read this 100 times or more. Because this is a strong, solid foundation. You take this foundation away, you have nothing to stand on. You think, oh, the New Testament is important. Based upon what do you have in the New Testament? When the Lord Jesus Christ came, he just came. Matthew, the book of Matthew chapter 1 started with what? The genealogy. What is that genealogy? Isn't that the whole Bible, the whole scriptures? Who is Abraham? Who is David? Right. What about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? What about the prophets? What about the Psalms? The whole New Testament is a quotation. You cannot remove that. You remove that. You remove the first five books of the Bible, where every foundation of the truth is laid there. You have no more basis of your faith. Who is the father of faith? That's the Old Testament. That is the Old Testament. Hey, don't mention Abraham anymore. Okay? Not okay. You mean to say you want to go back to the Old Covenant? Somebody recently says, well, you know, people are trying to bring us back to the old covenant. Goodness sake, who is doing that? Are you? You're doing that? Who? Who are they talking about? I don't know who they're talking about. Moses? Is Moses here? I wish he were here, you know? One day you're going to see Moses, and Moses will rebuke you. If you don't believe, you wait until we all see him. Let's go to John chapter 5, even skipping the Gospel of Luke 24, at the end of John chapter 5, beginning verse 31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Who is he talking about? You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Right? Now, let's continue. Jump now. Right? Verse 45. Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you. Who?
Moses.
Who?
Moses.
Why would Moses accuse them? They are so much for the law and they are so much for Moses. You mean to say Moses will accuse them? Moses will stand on their side. Because they love Moses. No? No, they love Moses? The Jews love Moses. Right? David? Yeah. And why would Moses accuse them? and then trusted in Moses. So Moses, in whom you trust, for you believe Moses. Right? If you believe Moses, you would believe me. You believe that? For he wrote about the law. No. Who was Moses writing about?
The Lord
Jesus Christ. Are you sure? How come the Jews didn't know that? So it depends on what you see, right? You see the law or you see Jesus? What do you see when you read Moses?
Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
What do you read? What do you see if you read Leviticus?
The offerings.
The law!
Which are
that's Christ, the law!
But Christ is the all-inclusive offering.
So, is Moses talking about cows and ox and goats and sheep and doves and fine flour mingled with oil and frankincense and with honey, etc., and the peace offering and all that? Is Moses talking about the law?
Not the law.
No. He's talking about Christ. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about me, the Lord says. For he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe? Now you tell me, what does it mean? What is the Lord trying to say? The Lord is trying to say that my word is all based upon what Moses wrote. They are the same. The problem is, you are veiled like the Hebrews, the Jews. When they read Moses, they only see, thou shalt this Sabbath, thou keep the Sabbath, circumcision, and do this, and don't do that, and this, and that, and that. Oh, that's the law, the law, oh, the law. They only see that. But if you take away the veil, what do you see? The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what do you want to see? What do you want to see? May the Lord have mercy on us. And this portion of the Bible is very clear. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? I don't think the Jews understood what the Lord was talking about. We believe in Moses' writing. What are you talking about? The Lord says, no, you don't believe. If you believe Moses, you will believe me. You believe his writings, you will believe my words. Right. For he wrote about me. So may the Lord really open our eyes. I think these verses would be enough to show us that the Pentateuch is the very basis and foundation of the whole scripture. It's very important. Really, I'm not overemphasizing anything. If the foundation of this house is damaged, somebody from the department of the building will come and put in a sign and says what?
Red tag.
A red tag. The red tag will say, no occupancy is allowed. Because this building will collapse any time, and if you're in it, you will collapse with it.
Amen. Yeah.
Cannot. You cannot remove the foundation. When I was very young, I read Watchman Nee's One of the Book, and Watchman Nee says two books the enemy was really afraid of, and that is Genesis and Revelation. Genesis. Sorry, man, I have a... I thought I brought my... Oh, yeah, I did. Too many pockets. Genesis, because it shows the beginning of everything, including the devil. You know, when I was writing some of this, charts concerning the very beginning of the kingdom, some people are not very happy because it was exposed. Satan was not very happy because it shows his origin and then his fall. And then God came in to create and recreate. And man, which was chosen even before the foundation of the world, God's plan is revealed. Some people are not very happy about that. I don't care if you're happy, you're not happy, it doesn't really matter to me. But the truth is the truth. Prove me wrong and I'll repent. If you do not know, then how do you know it's wrong? You don't know what's right, how do you know it's wrong? Right? If you tell me it's wrong, then you must know what is right. If you don't know what is right, how do you know it's wrong? I'm still waiting. You tell me that it's wrong. So, Genesis, that book is very exposing. Because in that book, all of God's purpose was really brought out. Even Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Israel. And God's promise, even the gospel, Galatians says, Paul says, it was already preached before the law was given by Moses. Gospel was preached already to Abraham, and it was the promise of the Spirit. The wonderful promise of God was already given. And how man became fallen, and how sin entered, and Christ was promised. Who do you think? Where did the Gospel of John? How did the Gospel of John start? Tell me. What did he say? In the beginning. Where did John get that word, in the beginning? In the beginning was a word. And the Word was God. The Word. The Word? What Word? All things were made by Him. Made by Him? By whom? Who is He? The Word. And who is the Word? Christ. Because the whole Bible tells us. Through Christ. In Colossians chapter 1. In Christ, through Christ, unto Christ, all things were made. In Hebrews chapter 1, He made all things. Through whom He made all things. Without Genesis chapter 1, how do you know? And what was the first thing? When God says, let there be the birds. Let there be the light. John, the Gospel, chapter 1, is a repetition of Genesis, chapter 1. In Him was light. And the light was the life. And the light shines in darkness. Where did He get that? And the Lord is the light.
So, in Genesis chapter 1 here, you think it's the Old Testament? It's Pentateuch? Take it away. Don't read Genesis chapter 1 anymore. And what about the four living creatures? What are they? What are the four living creatures? There's a lion, there's the ox, there's a man, and there's an eagle. Where did all these things come from? What about man created in the image of God? Isn't that important? You want to throw that away too? Who is the image of God? You may say the image Christ was already mentioned in chapter 1 of the Bible? Let us, all of us, who is us? How many God do we have?
One. Have you ever taught yourself to yourself and says, oh, let us?
You'd
be schizophrenic, you're talking to yourself. Never use that let us. How many of you are there? How many are you? What about our wonderful God? And who is this image? Colossians tells us clearly, 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Christ is the image of the invisible God. Just by chapter 1 of Genesis, how much truth is in that? How about the new man is created according to what? Image of whom? Christ. So, you don't care about the image? It is right there in the Bible as the strong, solid foundation of what God is going to do with us. What about the tree of life? Oh, forget about the tree of life. That's Moses. What about Adam and Eve? What is Adam and Eve talking about? Adam and Eve?
Christ and the church.
How do you prove that?
Ephesians chapter 5.
How about earlier than that? What about Romans 5:14? Adam is a picture of him who is to come. Christ and the church.
Yeah.
Right. 1 Corinthians 16, 6:17. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Now, where is that quotation from?
Genesis.
From Genesis. You want to argue with me about the Bible?
No.
Not with me, but with the Lord. We can have a conference in Genesis 1 all about Christ. This wonderful great mystery of Christ and the church, what is it based upon, Maria?
Genesis. Based upon Genesis. How can you say the Pentateuch? Away with the Pentateuch. That's the law. Can it be the law? So many things. What about after man's fall? After man's fall. What about the offering?
Yeah, it's right there.
Who taught Adam and Eve how to offer? God. How? By slaying an animal in front of them. Death came in. Because sin came in. So the blood has to be shed. And out of that, God made a covering. Does it not remind you of the burnt offering? And then what about God's promise?
concerning the seed of woman. Who is that seed of the woman that bruised the serpent's head? Who is that? Isn't that the gospel? Wasn't that already in Genesis chapter 3? Concerning the wonderful promise of the seed of the woman? Oh, that seed of the woman includes the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Includes that Christ, because he was born of a virgin, meaning to say that birth must be initiated by the Holy Spirit, the conception. So Christ is without sin. So much was there in the scriptures. The problem is we're blind, we don't see it. And we don't appreciate it. Seeing it is one thing, but really appreciate that God has already planned everything in Genesis. You need to see that. You want to throw that away? At least don't throw away the first three chapters of Genesis, okay? Keep it in the Bible. What about Abel and Cain? You tell me. You appreciate that? Really? Why? Are you one with Abel, or are you one with Cain? Who are you for?
God's way.
God's way. Because Abel is bringing a wonderful offering to the Father. Acceptable. Have it not taught you that right from the very beginning after man fell, God already prepared such an offering. So, brothers and sisters, learn from the Bible. Everything was already there. Everything was already there. What can I say to you? You think when we are talking about all this true worship and putting the wonderful picture of this Pentateuch together, it's bringing us back to the Lord. What do you want me to say? You want me to agree with you? I'm not opposing anyone. No, but I'm explaining. Show all the things what is in the Word of God.
Amen.
And how we can please Him.
Yeah.
Right. To be a true worshiper.
Yes.
Don't think it is simple. No. But on the other hand, be open to the Lord. Pray about it.
Amen.
Why oppose Him? Pray. Ask the Lord. And if you don't want to do it, that's fine. You know, nobody's forcing anyone. No. Please. You have the liberty. God will never force anyone. Neither will we. But, hey, why oppose it? If what we are sharing is right, then you're not opposing us, you're opposing God. And if we are really wrong, then something must be wrong with the Bible. Because this is what the Bible says. So who is right, who is wrong, it depends on the Lord's mercy. Right, the whole
scriptures, even Genesis, oh my, Exodus. You think Exodus has nothing to do with you? You're telling me. Who's the Passover? How are you going to explain people about Christ being our Passover? Don't use Moses. It's over. Don't use Moses. Okay, please.
Then we have
that's the law. Forget about the Torah. Because if you're for the Torah, you'll be for the Torahite. Why say this? Why say we don't? Coming out of Egypt. What about crossing the Red Sea? What is that? What is crossing the Red Sea? What about eating the manna? What about drinking from the rock? What about the building, especially of the tabernacle? What about Eden? What about? You think Exodus has nothing to do with us today? No wonder you still love the world. Time is up. Anyway, I have to convince you all that from Genesis to Malachi, and especially the first five books of Moses, all the wonderful seed of God's glorious plan has been sown there as the foundation. What is the name church means? The Greek word is ekklesia. What does it mean? Called out. Out of what? Into what? So, you don't believe in the Bible? Then I can't help you. And I won't argue with anyone. No. Right, there's no need for that. But you all really need to realize the Pentateuch is the solid foundation of the whole Bible, of the whole God's plan. Everything is there, even the triune God is there. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Even the gospel of faith is already mentioned. So much. Okay. Let's have some prayers and then please have some coffee so you won't fall asleep.
Amen. Yeah. Oh, Lord.